From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 27th day of November, 2024. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Greg Johnson. He's at TGM, that's TotalGrainMarketing.com. We'll hear again from Josh Linville about the price of nitrogen as it relates to this fall and next spring. And then as we close out our time together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast, too. We'll do that with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And along the way, I'll remind you to visit our website at willag.org and hit the registration pages there for the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. Those are coming up in the month of December in Mount Vernon, East Peoria, and DeKalb, and the Farm Assets Conference, which is actually the kickoff event for those Farm Economic Summits. That's December the 13th at the I Hotel right here on campus. More on that in just a moment here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, online, on demand, anytime you'd like to hear us.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn for the day settled at $4.15¾. It was down 4¼. The March contract unchanged at $4.28. May unchanged as well at $4.35¼. January soybeans $9.88¾, up 5¼. The March at $9.97, three higher. In November soybeans of next year, $10.14, up $0.01¼. Bean meal futures at $2.95.40, up $4 in the January contract. The bean oil January at $40.92, $1.79 lower. Soft red winter wheat down $0.03¼ in the December at $5.37¾. The hard red December at $5.26¼, down 24¼ cents on this Wednesday afternoon. Greg Johnson is now here from TGM. That's TotalGrainMarketing.com. Happy Thanksgiving week to you, Greg. I bet you're looking forward to the day off tomorrow. Have you been open all this time for weekends? Has harvest finished up here in East Central Illinois?
Yes, we've been open weekends since the middle of September. We had that real nice dry run last half September, all of October, where it just wouldn't rain. So we went from probably being 2 weeks behind schedule to finishing probably a week ahead of schedule for most people. But there were some areas that, for whatever reason, got corn planted late, too much rain in that late May timeframe where the corn just wouldn't come up. I think we finally finished up everybody yesterday, the ones that still had grain still in the field. You can still find an isolated field here or there, but I'm going to say it's officially over. So yeah, we're looking forward to a nice long weekend away from the elevator.
Oh, well, congratulations to you coming on a holiday. That's great. You should have a fantastic start to the whole of the holiday season. When you are talking to the producers, probably at this point, and this is just a question about fall field work, because it was so very warm, have they been delayed very much with their anhydrous ammonia applications, and are they catching up?
Yes, they're behind, and no, they're not catching up. I think we went from where it was probably too warm to when the temperatures finally started dropping, then we had too much rain. And so I think there's still a lot of anhydrous that still needs to be applied and hasn't been yet. And, you know, sometimes December, we get some nice weather in December. I think that's what we're hoping for in December, is to get some nice weather to get some anhydrous applied and get caught up. But I would say as of today, we're behind schedule.
Okay, so I will put this out right now on Friday, December the 13th. Even if it's a good day, you should spend the $80 and come see me at the Farm Assets Conference on campus. You could get yourself registered for that at willag.org. When they come on that day, we'll be talking about the markets. You and I should discuss that for the day. This week, President Trump talked some about tariffs. He made some comments on a social media network about maybe upping tariffs on China 10%. Those would be tariffs that are already in place. And 25% on Mexico, those would be new tariffs that would have to be put in place. There were some tariffs already, but there might be some additional tariffs. And the president of Mexico was not very happy about that and said, hey, if you start this process, we're going to do a tit for tat. Every time you raise them, we're going to raise them. This is exactly what the producers, others would be wary of as it's related to the marketplace. I don't think the markets reacted. Certainly soybeans, at the time you and I are talking, are higher for the day.
They're higher for the day. For the month, we're basically unchanged. We started the month at 9.95 January futures, and we're at 9.92 today. So basically, they're unchanged. Corn's gained 8 cents for this month. Wheat's lost 36 cents. But you're right. The trade policy, the trade talk, trade tensions really have got traders concerned, but we really don't know. Is it just posturing? Will Mexico and China acquiesce and accept the tariffs, or will they, you know, it's not all about trade. It's, you know, the drugs and the illegal immigrants coming in. So if they could make some concessions on that, would Trump be willing to forego the talked about tariffs? So, you know, a lot of unknowns about that. And, you know, he hasn't even taken office yet. So we'll have, you know, we'll have 2 more months of this, I'm afraid, you know, not really knowing for sure. But obviously, that is a big mover. If we remember back to 2018, when Trump did put tariffs on China and China retaliated, we had bean prices drop dramatically that summer. So it could definitely have an impact if they do come into place. And the good news is, I guess, in the short run, we're seeing Mexican cattle feeders try to front run this potential trade war. They've been buying a lot of corn. Mexico has been buying a lot of corn from the United States, front running ahead of potential tariffs. And so we've seen very good demand from Mexico on corn and very good demand from China on soybeans. So in the short run, it's actually a little bit friendly. Now, maybe longer term, it won't be. We'll have to wait and see. But in the short run, it has been a little positive.
Yeah, all the rain that we got later in the fall has been very good for the river system, the Ohio, the Mississippi, the Illinois, running deep now. And it appears exports going down those rivers are moving quickly. Soybeans have had several good weeks. How are we as it relates to pace of soybean exports and what USDA has on the books for this marketing year?
We're slightly ahead of pace from what USDA is projecting, both corn and soybeans. Not a lot, but a little. So that's good news. And you combine that with the fact that the farmers, once again, are tight holders and have not been selling. Once they put this crop away, they just really don't want to pull it right back out of the bins immediately. And so with the good demand that we've seen combined with reluctant farmer selling, the basis has had to do a lot of the work trying to incentivize farmers and elevators to move grain. As I just said, the board price basically is unchanged. Corn's up 8 cents for the month, beans down 3 cents. So that's basically unchanged. So we've seen big basis improvements in both corn and soybeans, trying to take some of the carry out of the market, trying to incentivize farmers to get that grain moving out of their bins. We haven't seen that happen yet, but if you get, you know, the Jan, Feb, March corn bid is basically flat. So that's kind of a signal to farmers that maybe they might want to consider moving corn in January if there's no carry in the market, no reward to hold on to it into February and March.
How strong is basis at this point? How much is it closed up for corn and soybeans?
Corn basis is probably 20 cents better than where it was when we started fall harvest. The bean basis is almost 40 cents better than where we started fall harvest at. So the bean basis has really done a lot of work. And now that corn harvest is basically over, I anticipate another probably 10 cent basis improvement between now and the end of the year.
Yeah, bean basis is way better, but still below $10 cash for soybeans.
Well, yeah, I said, basis is doing the work. The futures market, unfortunately, is not cooperating, but at least the basis is improving. But yeah, we need the futures market to go up to get those $10 cash prices. And we did have $10 for a couple of days in early November. We had it in a couple times in October. So we get to $10 cash, and then we seem to run out of steam. That's where the farmers decide to let loose of some beans, and the market goes back down. So we'll have to wait and see whether we get another opportunity in December to get that $10. But if we do, that's probably going to be a good place to get some beans sold.
You think that'll happen?
It could. South America is 90% planted, so they're just about planted. So they've got their whole growing season ahead of them. It's probably going to take a weather scare. Some forecast that southern Brazil, Argentina, which is a little on the dry side right now, that they would continue to stay dry. So it's going to take some kind of a weather issue. But, you know, we've got the whole growing season down there. We've got 3 months down there before we really know what we've got. So there's always that chance, I guess. And I would say at this point, you know, have your offers in, and then if you go every month that we go by, if it hasn't happened, we may want to start, you know, lowering our sights a little bit. But at this point, with the whole growing season ahead of us, I think there's nothing wrong with having $10 price offers in.
The ethanol grind has been fantastic in the month of November. Will that continue?
Probably not into January. Right now is the best time for ethanol manufacturers to purchase their corn stock. So there's plenty of it around. So typically October, November, December is the easiest time for ethanol producers to acquire those stocks. Once we get into January, February, March, not quite as easy. So I would say that, you know, the pace is good now, but I would expect that to tail off a little bit as we get into January, February.
Anything else before I let you go for the day?
Well, the U.S. dollar is something to keep an eye on. 2 months ago, that U.S. dollar index was right at 100. Last week, it was all the way up to 108. Now we've sold off 3 days in a row this week, and we're at 106. So, you know, the dollar is indicative of what traders think the U.S. economy is going to do and what interest rates are going to do. And, you know, the economy is doing much better than expected. You know, so interest rates may not get reduced by the Fed. So that's keeping the dollar strong. So really, we need to keep an eye on the U.S. dollar. If we could get that a little bit weaker, that obviously would help our export market out a little bit.
All right. Hey, thank you much.
Hey, thank you, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with TGM. That's TotalGrainMarketing.com. Hey, have you signed up yet for the Farm Assets Conference? That's coming up right here on campus on Friday, December the 13th. It should be a fantastic day at the iHotel. The cost is just $80, but you do need to get yourself registered right now. There are a couple of interesting twists within this Farm Assets Conference. First, if you have somebody that is interested in coming to the University of Illinois for college, particularly in the College of ACES in Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences, Crop Sciences, Ag Econ, Engineering, Agricultural Communications, we're letting them register for free. That's right, they can register for free in that same registration space right there at willag.org under the Farm Assets Conference. All you have to do is tell us that they are a prospective student, give us their name, and which primary interest they have. I've outlined a couple of them within the registration, but if there's something else, just put a comma after their name and let us know what that happens to be. Now, who will you see on that day? Well, it's a long list. It starts with Emily Heaton, Giovanni Prezafontes, Gary Schnitke, Josie Rudolphy, Brittany Goodrich, Eric Snodgrass, Brad Zwilling, Nick Paulson, Jonathan Kappas, Joanna Colusi, Boris Camaletti, Aaron Hager, John Jones, Nick Sider, Emerson Nafsiger, Joe Jansen, Matt Bennett, and Brian Stark, along with Colin Waters. A big list. You can find all the details and the agenda on our website at willag.org, willag.org. The Farm Assets Conference is Friday, December the 13th. Don't wait. Register today right now at willag.org. The Farm Doc team and I thank you in advance. Let's return now to an interview I did with Josh Linville a couple of weeks ago. I pulled just one soundbite from him as it's related to the price of nitrogen this fall and next spring.
When it comes to nitrogen, and this is completely outside the scope of duties and everything else like that, this is merely just global market fundamentals. Urea is the most widely produced, traded nitrogen in the world. It's produced by different nations, by different companies. It is the one that acts the most like commodities. So it drives the bus in terms of the nitrogen market. And when we look globally, we see tight supplies. Chinese exports annually, historically speaking, are around 5 to 5.5 million tons per year. January through September of this year, only 254,000 tons, with very little sign they're going to return back to normal anytime soon. EU continues to operate nitrogen production about 75% of normal. That 25% offline is about 2.5-3 million tons of production. Egypt had a lot of production issues this summer. We think they lost around 1 million tons. Brazilian production is still offline. So there's a very long laundry list of tons that were in the supply chain that are no longer there. Values have been very, very level, and we're getting more and more nervous that we're going to start to see prices popping up as we get closer to that spring season, and the market is forced to realize that S&D is much tighter than what it's acting like today.
That was Josh Linville, recorded a couple of weeks ago. He is a fertilizer analyst for StoneX. Let's check the weather forecast now with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Hi, Drew. Happy holidays to you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, indeed. I hope you get plenty of turkey and ham or whatever you eat on the turkey day.
So turkey for sure. And I think there's a little beef going to be involved, too. It's not only for us for supper. It's what's for the holidays, too.
Yeah.
How about that? Speaking of which, we probably should start with a holiday forecast. What does Thanksgiving look like across the Midwest?
You know, we're being blessed this year, really not with too much in the way of adversity. We have a little system that's coming across the Central Plains into the Midwest now. And as we go forward through the rest of the day, it's going to pass through the region very quickly. And by the time we get up in the morning tomorrow, it'll be in the northeastern part of the U.S., maybe still lingering a bit in Ohio. Possibly eastern sections of Kentucky, but it'll move fairly quickly out of the way. Now, for folks that are headed into the Northeast or whatever, have plans up that way, it might be a little bit more ugly. But for the heart of the Midwest, it looks pretty good, because once we're done with that system by, let's say, tomorrow afternoon for sure, if not tomorrow morning, I don't see any other precipitation of much consequence until we get a little light dusting of snow that comes down through the lower Missouri River Valley. This will be on Friday night into Saturday morning. Just a dusting to maybe an inch. Somebody could come up with 2 inches, but that would be a real rarity. And then we'll go right back into the drier, biased environment. Now, it does get colder, and so that's not going to be too thrilling, but everyone will be so full of food that they probably won't even notice.
Maybe. I do have a friend who lives in Florida, college buddy, lives on a small yacht there, a little sailboat, and he's coming back to Chicago tomorrow morning. He asked me what the weather was going to be like. I told him he wouldn't have to deal with any snow, but that he was going to freeze his tuchus off. Can you tell me about this cold weather coming up?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be a bit of a shock for him. A poor fellow living on a yacht. I don't know if I even have much feeling for him, but anyway. all kidding aside, it will be cold. We do expect the lows tomorrow morning up in Chicago, probably in the upper 20s. Not too bad for them, but it does get colder later in the weekend, depending on how long he's going to be around. Looks like the temperatures will end up being in the teens up that way. In fact, all of the Midwest will see teens as we go into the Friday through Sunday time period for nighttime lows. And there will be some single-digit readings in Iowa and Minnesota. There'll even be sub-zero readings in the Red River Valley of the North. So it's looking a lot like winter.
Well, I have a secondary question about that. When we get into the month of December, farmers have been ahead, except for some of their nitrogen applications. They needed to wait until temperatures drop, but that came along with the rainfall. I think there's going to need to be some done still yet. Is there a time when it warms up, do you think, in December after this cold snap that they might be able to push into the fields, and or does it come with rainfall and that will, well, that would be a problem for them?
Yeah, you know, I do see it warming up. First of all, just a real quick broad-based comment, that the Northern Hemisphere in general doesn't have much cold air in it. This event that we've got this week is pretty much the only cold in the Northern Hemisphere at the moment, and so it will pass fairly quickly. And so we will warm up. We're not going to get exceptionally warm, but we'll get warm enough for that process to take place. Now, I am watching for a possible larger storm system to evolve as we get into warmer weather. We have two weather patterns that will prevail over the winter, and December will show both of them. The one that we'll start with is the northwest flow. That brings the cold air around. The other flow pattern is going to be a split jet stream where we have a ridge over northwestern part of the United States and western Canada and a trough that comes into the southwestern U.S. And what will end up happening with that pattern is we'll see storm systems develop in the southern plains and move to the lower half of the Midwest and ultimately into the northeastern states. And I think we could see that transition from the one pattern to the other at some point in week two or week three of December. And so you should anticipate first a warm-up that will occur certainly by the end of next week going into the following weekend, and then we'll look for that larger storm system to evolve as we get closer to mid-month. And we'll see the temperatures bounce around with that system's passage, so it'll be warm, very warm ahead of it. We will get rain and snow behind it, and then we'll see the temperatures come down again, but not quite as cold as they are this weekend.
In South America, here in the United States, we're rooting for a little bit of a problem in hopes of getting a higher price. Is there anything in the weather that causes you concern there?
You know, there isn't right now. When I look at the South American forecast and what's happened in the last 30 days, this is the first normal weather that I think I've seen there in years. You know, we've had all kinds of trouble since really 2020, I think, was the first year of trouble. And so this may be the first normalish weather pattern we've seen for a while. And even back in the, I think it was 2015, 16, we were having El Nino problems. So there was only one or two normalish years in there, I think 2018 or 2019. But anyway, the weather in South America looks very normal right now. Both Argentina and Brazil have good moisture. There's going to be routinely occurring precipitation, and at least for another 10 days. Now, the Southern Oscillation Index, that's the little index that helps to determine El Nino and La Nina, is rising real strongly right now and will continue to rise. What this is going to ultimately lead to is we may get a little bit of a La Nina bias in our weather pattern as we get into mid-December. And what that will do is it should dry down eastern Argentina, Uruguay, and Rio Grande do Sul. Now, we're going to have so much moisture going into that time period that it's not going to be a relevant issue, at least not initially. And if I had to put money down on the table, I would tell you that this won't last long and we'll still get timely rain to occur, even though these areas may see below average precipitation in December. So before we run for the market to try to make some money, I think we need to sit back and wait, because I think this is going to end up being still a pretty good weather pattern.
Hey, thanks much. I appreciate it.
Have a great holiday.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The markets are closed now until Friday morning. They'll open at 8:30 a.m. for a shortened day trade, finishing up in the noon hour on that day. Do visit our website, willag.org. Today, I want you to pay special attention to the farm assets and Illinois Farm Economic Summits. Those are coming up in Champaign, Mount Vernon, East Peoria, and DeKalb in the middle of the month of December. Be sure to get yourself registered today. Don't wait. Register for the Farm Assets or the Illinois Farm Economic Summits today. You have a great Thanksgiving holiday. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.